So hello and a very warm welcome to our podcast, Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive. It's hosted by Louise Wiles and me, Elizabeth Gillis. And in the podcast, we aim to be a companion for young people when they step out of school into further study or work and help them thrive in new environments. And here we are in June 2025. It's at the time of the year that I know schools are preparing students for the exam period. Likely you're in it now, but it's been before it, during it, and then the aftermath. And it can be a really stressful time. And then I know students and schools will be thinking about what to do next after the exam. And schools are thinking about supporting students when they leave the familiar surrounding of school, of their friends, of the teachers, and the secure feeling of place where they've been settled. And this is somebody we're introducing today who's been working really hard on that. So today we want to welcome Lindsay Bailey onto the podcast. Lindsay's head of sixth form, wealth of experience of being in sixth form of 8 years, and she's at a college in London. And so welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, welcome. Hi, nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here and talking to us. It's always good to share kind of experience and things. So Let's just get into it now. Tell us what it's like this summer term in school in the sixth form you've got and the kind of role that you have. What's happening for you?
Yeah, so it's really full steam ahead at the moment. We are in the throes of the public examinations for year 13. So it's a bit of a funny time. Some students have maybe 1 or 2 days left before they're finished for their whole summer. We've got others who are just starting papers tomorrow. So they've got a whole kind of a grind of 3 weeks to go before they can really relax and celebrate. And we're also working with our year 12 students. It is now coming into sort of predicted grade season. So they've just sat a whole week of assessments, and we're also looking at what we call a next steps week. So we're preparing a series of activities to get them thinking about UCAS and, of course, the application process in the future, but also to get their minds in the right place to think about what course they might want to continue and pursue at university, and also to think about what university suits them, or if it's not a university, what that path looks like and how can we give them multiple options.
So there's kind of two pathways going there at the moment. There's the year 12s that are going to be your leavers next year, and then you've got your leavers here at the, you know, sitting exams right at the moment, aren't they? So they're in the midst of it all. Yeah,
absolutely. We always work in parallels with our 12s and 13s, but it makes for a really nice school community because the 13s can give advice or the year 12s can be a really optimistic support from an outside perspective looking in. So they work really nicely alongside each other, but it does come into periods where they're doing completely different things in the cycle. So it presents its own challenges, but it is really quite exciting, and no day is the same, which is, I think, a real perk of being in this profession.
Yeah. And lovely that you can use those year 13s because they're in it now and they know what it's like to be in a year 12 thinking about those predicted grades and about, well, what am I going to do next? So they've had that recent experience of it. I really like that idea of using them as a kind of like mentors or something.
Definitely.
Let's think particularly about the year 13s who are leaving school. Why are you really interested in supporting them in particular ways, Lindsay?
Well, I've always been really interested in teaching the sort of top end of school. I think the challenges that students of that age present are very, I call them kind of problems with a capital P. They are facing challenges that a lot of adults face. Sometimes adults might not face the kind of depth and seriousness of the issues that they face. So, you know, there's a real need to provide support because they're dealing with these big challenges, but at the same time, they're adolescents and they're trying to experience childhood. And I enjoy working with that age group. I think they have a really great perspective on life, but they also have a kind of understanding of themselves, I would say, more so than maybe you get in the lower years at this stage in their development.
Yeah. And that this kind of big life event that's coming up for them, they've been in school likely quite kind of supported and nurtured and they know it really well, and then suddenly school's not there. And I think one of the reasons that I'm really interested in when we talk about transitions, and kind of we'll do that in a minute, about helping these young people at this time, is because schools, like I know your school does, they create a lot of belonging and this feel of like this is their place and this is their tribe, these are their people, this is what's, they know what's going on here. So there's all that focus to make them feel at home there. And now there's a fracture coming up.
Yes. Yes. I call it breaking up with the school.
Yes.
And we see that present in so many different ways. We see students who, you know, they come up with this really big life change and they go into themselves. They get very reserved. They get, you know, kind of silently and quietly worried. Others really go out with a bang and they become hugely extroverted, but sometimes they need some help refocusing and getting back down to the challenge at hand, which is preparing for examinations of the future. And then you get others where I kind of think they can't quite recognize when they're processing it as they're processing it. So sometimes things happen like the best of friends have this massive friendship breakup in the middle of their mock examinations and they can't quite understand why, and sometimes that is them processing all of the big changes they're about to have, and it's manifesting in different ways, or they see they're about to become very distant and separate from each other, and that's scary to them but also challenging to them. They might be doing some self-protection. So yeah, we do see it manifest in so many different ways, and it's helping them to recognize, you know, are you feeling this in the moment, is this something you're feeling on a longer term scale, and helping them to kind of label how they're feeling as they occur.
Yeah. And I love that. Just this idea that nobody experiences change one way. It happens in lots of different ways. And I think for young people, sometimes that can be a really kind of confusing thing, because somebody might be feeling, oh, I don't really want to leave school. I know everybody here. This is my comfort place. But others are going, great, freedom for me. I'm going to do all this sort of stuff. And it can be confusing to say, how come I'm feeling like this? And they're feeling something completely different.
Yeah, absolutely.
So giving it a language and a kind of an understanding of stuff, what it means, is really, really important, isn't it? I agree with that too. Tell me a little bit then about how you're doing this work in school, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you've been using the podcast. But how do you do this work? Is it on a kind of like individual needs basis or what, Lindsay?
Yes, it's a really great question, because I think schools are excellent at bridging the gap between GCSE and A-level students. They sort of can identify the changes that are going to happen, the subject-based changes. We know sort of what teenagers are thinking and feeling between sort of 16 and 17 and some of those changes. And I think once you move on to university, it looks so individual and different for everyone. Some people want to go off on a gap year and find meaning in different ways. Others want to go straight into university in a course that's very demanding and challenging, and so they really have to get their heads down. And we find often that there are always some gaps in the jump between A-level and between universities. So for example, we know people will struggle to, as you said earlier, find their tribe. They struggle at first to find their friends and to figure out their social circle and to feel that trust that they may have had so deeply at school with both their teachers and with the students. And they've spent a long time working on that. You know, it's hard to make friends. It's especially hard to make friends as an adult and a young adult. And, you know, finding what your hobbies are when no one's telling you you have to do that hobby. So those are some of the gaps I think we can identify and we see time and time again. And we plan for that by building it into our PSHE program. So we have a real mix of, yes, you have to have these study skills for your A-levels, but what does that look like at university when you have a completely unstructured day? And how are you going to take those skills of mapping that to your unstructured time when no one is kind of giving you the guidance? And equally, I think we plan for the gaps in what we call real world ready sessions. So we opt in with a carousel of activities and we let them choose what kinds of things they need more support with. So we've had some students have some basic car maintenance with one of our teachers who's telling them, you know, this is how you need to check your tire pressure, and this is what you need to do if this funny light turns on. And they might go straight from that into a session on, this is what your student loan budget looks like. How are you going to plan a week's worth of meals that are healthy and that will kind of nourish you, but keep your student loan budget reasonable. So we do really try and pull those gaps in to our PSHE, but there will always be gaps that we don't expect. And one of the things that we do to really try to keep abreast of those things is to pull in our alumni network. So we see them every January. We have events with our former head students where we have a kind of online panel, and we ask them about the kinds of things that they wish they knew and what did they feel they could have been better prepared for. And so we use those kind of dynamic and changing answers to, we'll do Q&A sessions with alumni, we'll pull in, you know, if there's a current event that really needs to be discussed, for example. Some students found it hard at university to tackle some of the kind of misogyny that was going on in current events. So we navigated a PSHE around how to handle those conversations and how do you serve as an upstander or shut those conversations down, because they didn't feel as confident doing that in a setting outside of our own. Yeah. So it's really being able to recognize that things are ever changing and be able to build systems in place to give them some support and updated information.
Yeah. I mean, inviting those students who are just going through their first year back into school and say, tell us about it, is such a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we recognize we're not always going to get it right. And so sometimes we come back and we say, did you really like that session? And they'll say, no, I got nothing out of that. And so we'll say, great, thanks for your candor. We're going to change that around.
Yeah. So getting that feedback, because then you're kind of doing it together. It's not something you're putting on students. Because I think that's why Louise and I decided that we'd interview lots of students and have those student voices series in our podcast, asking, you know, the gap year or the first year or the second year or the student on an abroad program or something, just to hear what it's like from real students, because we can all think, well, it might be like this and it might be like that, but we need to know. When they come back to you, I mean, when will they come back? But will it be this term that this first years will come back to you and talk to you?
We tend to do it the January, you know, when they're kind of in their second year, in that January time before they go back for their second term of second year, because they've got a little bit of experience under their belt. Now, we do see a lot of our first year leavers. We call them year 14s. But we do see our year 14s. We have a barbecue at the beginning of the year in September before some of them go off to university. And so they'll come and join us for that. And that's kind of how was your summer? How did you feel when you didn't have that pressure and that stress? And, you know, helping them, again, navigate the change of what's to come and what's ahead. And then we see them again sort of at the end of their first year. We have a summer barbecue, a summer fair, and some will come back and tell us of their journey. But I often find that second year tends to be when some of the wisdom comes and some of the, you know, I really struggled to find friends, but in June, I found my feet and this is what I'm doing now. They do tend to take some time to adjust, just like we all do.
Just like we all do. And you know, the research around, you know, how long it takes to make friends, it's much longer than we anticipate. And I think it's much longer than students going off to university anticipate that it'll take. I'm really curious about this, you asking these students back in the January of their second year. Huh. What kind of things do they come up with? What are they kind of, what do you remember? I know January is a while ago. What were they kind of bringing up?
Absolutely. So a lot of them talked about finding their passions and finding their hobbies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the best thing you hear is when they say, you know, I never really thought of myself as a hockey player, but I really wanted to have a team. I needed team sport. And they've tried something new. It's gone really well. And as a result, they feel huge rewards. Or, you know, when you see someone who is a keen debate and public speaking person say, oh, I'm at this union and I've decided to do this and I've run for this. And would you believe it? I've gone for this massive hustings. So it's seeing them be brave and those risks may or may not pay off, but they feel really satisfied. And I think we often find they are so genuinely delighted to be back. So some of those feelings of, I can't wait to get out of here. Oh, I must get rid of so-and-so, or I need to be free. All of that's sort of dissolved. All of that's gone away. And they just have a genuine love and affection for this place. And they want to come back and see how we are. So we feel like it's a great time to have an open and honest conversation, because some of those emotions have had time to dissipate.
And also because that's part of the change process, you know, to really get out of somewhere to kind of leave, you have to, like you said, protect yourself a little bit. And sometimes you have to make it really messy to get out, because if you are really to be in close touch with your emotions, you might be too emotional about it.
Yes. Well, equally, you know, some who really struggle to leave, who you know, love it and don't want to go and are, you know, kind of feeling fearful, we don't want them to come back and say, I'm not ready, you know, I don't want to go into uni. And so it's good to give them time to make that adjustment too. So it does work on both ends of that, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. And to find that thing that you were saying about what they talk about, you know, I think one of the things I like about that is that they seem to be not just doing the same old thing. Oh, I used to do this at school, so I'll just continue that at university. And it's a message that the reason I try to give is, it's a chance to try something new. Like, you don't just have to be the same student as you were at school. There'll be so many more opportunities. So be it kind of be a hockey player or debate, whatever it might be, just to try out some new things, because you might find that's you.
Yeah. And some people do need a totally fresh start to completely reinvent themselves. And we've had students come back who've done just that. And it's been such a refreshing change. And there's almost like a calm about them. They appear much more settled. They appear much more authentically and genuinely themselves. So again, the time and the space that they've needed to become that. And it's always fascinating to see, because they are met with open arms from everyone else that they have essentially grown up with. So everyone loves to see that they found themselves and they feel happier. And I say there's a real kind of kindness and a welcoming nature amongst the alumni when they see each other.
Yeah. And a place that they can feel settled again, you know. And I that's, you know, one of our kind of models that we use about knowing where you're settled and trying to get back to that feeling of settled. But knowing that that feeling of settled will still be there when you go back to places before is a really good thing to know.
Tell
us a little bit about how you've been using the podcast, the Successful Student Transition Cast. How did you come across them, and what you've been doing? Yeah.
Well, I obviously, Elizabeth, we have worked together previously. We've talked about kind of supporting students who have a variety of needs and how we can approach that. So when you and I spoke and you said, oh, by the way, this is something you might want to look at, I thought this is exactly what we're trying to do. This year in our sixth form, we always have a kind of a focus or a goal. And this year, our focus was thinking about those gaps between school and university and trying to equip students as best we could. And when we looked at the podcast, we thought, this is it. This is exactly what we can use. You know, that's not just us standing in front of them, telling them the same things over and over. So it's a new voice. It's research-based, which I think is so effective and helpful. And also it's a resource that we can share with parents. So that is crucial to us, because we're always looking for ways to triangulate the school, the parents, and the student. And, you know, students of this age are old enough to have some responsibility and accountability for themselves. And I think your podcast does a great job of, you know, it's not just including them in the conversation. It is, you are basing the conversation with them and around them. And it's almost the parents and the teachers that are sort of kind of earwigging on the side. And I think that's exactly what we need to help equip students. So we've used it in our sixth form. We have some reflective sessions every term where students are kind of looking back at what they've achieved, where they want to go next, and how they're kind of coping between school and university. And we've used this on a couple of occasions, and we've said, you know, have you looked at this specific podcast that interviews two students who, you know, have found that struggle and that change quite scary? Or have you looked at this one where a student took an alternative pathway to what they had anticipated? And so we give them that quiet reflection time to do it. We're all in the same space, but they do it individually and silently, so they can choose what they want to listen to. And then we take some feedback at the end and have collective discussion about what's your takeaway and how can you use that moving forward. So it's been fantastic. It's been brilliant.
Thank you very much. Well, it's good to see it actually being used, because I guess Louise and I were imagining it would be people, individuals listening to it. But the fact that it's a group listening together to things and then having a group discussion is, and that's why we wanted to talk to you, Lindsay, because it's such a creative idea.
I think we, you know, we're social creatures.
Yeah.
And we like to, you know, we like to learn about things together. And I think the students feel there's almost an accountability there. So if someone is feeling very torn about leaving and they feel like it's just them, I think this helps them in a group setting discuss it and go, actually, there I can look around this room and I know there are other people who I might not necessarily be friends with, but who are sharing these kinds of things. So there's a kind of a collective understanding that everyone's going to feel differently about this, and that's okay. And you can all lean on each other for support. So it's about recognizing that it's not just happening to them.
Yeah. And did you use it specifically with the, when we were interviewing the students, or were there other episodes you listened kind of as a group to as well?
So the ones that we listened to as a group were the student ones, because they identified most with their peers. But I have recommended, so I've spoken to a couple of individuals and supporting them in making this transition, and I've recommended to them and to their parents some of the others. And I think those have been really beneficial for that, you know, that group or those families who are trying to navigate specific challenges, because it is an extra pair of advice that's been given to them, and they find that really helpful.
Yeah. And of course, for families too, we've talked about that empty nest thing, about the changes of families that go on when their young adults leave and go off somewhere new.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you've been doing this over a couple of terms. What's been kind of some of the discussions around what the students have been saying that might give you an idea of the things that they're gaining from it through the
I think what they are gaining is they are understanding it's not going to be smooth. And I think they know it's not going to be smooth, but they don't necessarily always know how. Mm-hmm. They don't know what challenges they're going to find. So by hearing examples of other obstacles or other changes people have gone through and talking about how those have worked out and how they've kind of navigated those is reassuring to them. And it also perhaps, and we hope, prepares them for some of the challenges they'll encounter that they might not have considered before.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think, you know, sometimes you hear students, young people being told, oh, it'll be the best years of your life. And of course, we want it to be. We want it to be good for them. But if they're told that, and I'm going to call it a myth, right? Told that myth, and then they have a bump, and they think, but it was supposed to be the best years of my life. And automatically they start to think, what's wrong with me then? This is supposed to be good for me. This is supposed to be the best years of my life. This is supposed to be have a great time. This is what I've been told. And then when there is a bit of reality there about there will be challenges, if they don't know that, it's really going to pull the rug from under them.
Yes. And the pressure of making it the most aesthetic, wonderful time that they're going to be posting on all their social medias. You know, there's another layer of documenting it. They feel like they need to document this amazing journey that they're going to have. But what, of course, they don't always see is the the undocumented parts of that, where you do feel a real struggle or you are having a hard time. And I think they all recognize it, but maybe they fear it. And so speaking the fear out loud, giving it a name, talking about it, I hope helps to minimize it for them.
And maybe that when people say, oh, it's going to be the best years of your life, maybe that's to cover up a little bit of that fear stuff that people don't feel either experienced or brave enough to go. And yet, you know, it's something that needs to be talked about. I mean, Louise and I talk about the mess and magic of change. It's both those things. It's not all mess and it's not all magic. It's going to be a bit of both. And you have to be prepared to think about, well, what could be some of my mess and what could be some of my magic in order to kind of navigate some of this stuff.
Yeah.
What else do you think they've been gaining? So they know it's not going to be smooth.
Yes. I think by looking at some of the science and the research behind what's going on in adolescents and what's going on with their brains, it gives them an answer to why they might be acting or thinking or behaving the way they are. And that's really reassuring to them. Oh, this is physiological. This isn't me it's not me acting completely out of character. It is a physiological response to what's going on in my body. And I think that's really helpful and reassuring for them too. You know, I think it's always important to understand what's going on with you. And again, I've said it earlier and I say it now. When you are between 16 and 18, there's nothing worse than being patronized, right? You don't want anyone to sort of write you off like you're a teenager, incapable of thinking or understanding for yourself. So, you know, giving them that power and letting them make their own conclusions through that is it's such an empowering tool.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just as well as you were saying that, you know, I think adolescence in itself is a huge life event. It's a big change, isn't it? And how they negotiate that is a really important one. And, you know, I think some of the frameworks that we actually use in the podcast, which we have taken from a lot from the cross-cultural work about, you know, what happens when people move and change places, move to different countries like you have yourself, like Lindsay, is that, you know, there's that, first of all, that honeymoon experience where everything's great and wonderful, sort of, and then there's often this dip. And I know, until you get the kind of adaptation mastery stuff that brings you back to a kind of level of where you were before. And I know when I speak to a lot of, you know, students going to university at this particular time, you know, just knowing that there will likely be a dip or more than one dip is a good thing to know. And that's a bit about it not being smooth as well. That's about knowing that there are natural cycles of things, knowing that if they are going to have a dip, well, they can prepare for it. They can do something about it.
Yeah. And there is such a thing as the fifth week blues, after all, where you're at university and, you know, it all feels a bit, all the fun and games are over and everyone's getting their head down and it all feels a bit overwhelming all of a sudden. So, yeah, just recognizing that this pit and the peaks, and just time, you know, we have that at A levels as well, those pinch points where people are finding things overwhelming. So almost giving them a map to, you're going to feel this too. We couldn't exactly tell you when or where, but you know, roughly when those nights are dark and cold, for example, after the end of your freshers week, when people are all busy with their own clubs and lectures, there are going to be, again, some commonalities where it feels a bit lower.
Yeah.
But also being prepared for when those weeks come out of nowhere, or when those months come out of nowhere, and it, you know, just being comfortable in riding that feeling as opposed to really fighting it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I guess, you know, from a lot of the research, you know, the students are a lot of students, I can't remember the statistic off my head, but it's really high, you know, think about leaving in that first term. Or the first year, they're thinking about giving it up. And it is that, it's about being able to tolerate, this isn't been a great day or a great week for me. And knowing why you've chosen it and why you're there is really, really important.
Completely. And that's really important when we're giving students advice on their university selections. We say, when you go to that open day, it's going to be, you know, beautiful and exciting and everything's going to be amazing. But imagine you having a really, you know, low day. And are you still happy with those courses? Are you still happy with that city or that campus? Is that where you, you know, do you have the support that you need? If you do need to go speak to someone or get medical attention, et cetera, et cetera. It's really thinking through all eventualities in that place. And I think that's crucial too.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing, you know, where they can go to for help as well, is asking for help at some point is really important.
I think that's the most underutilized, that's the biggest gap. I think it's the most underutilized service that universities provide students across so many different areas. So with their education, with the well-being center, with career support and advice, you know, they are there for the taking, those offers for support and help. And students often don't make the most of them or realize that until they are well into their first year, sometimes second.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving yourself an opportunity to do a bit of research before that really can give you a leg up, I think, when you go off.
Yeah. Do you know exactly where you need to go?
Yeah.
And what about you? I mean, you know, we're talking here and I can feel your passion and your experience in all of this and what you're doing and bringing past students back and making this a very kind of rich and meaningful, practical, productive, thought-provoking work for students going off to university. Was there anything from the podcast that either you learned or confirmed your learning?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think recognizing that it's okay that it's going to fail sometimes. And I think recognizing that we all fail a lot throughout various points of our lives, and this is not just specific to teenagers. This is a cycle. It's a pattern of behavior. It's a kind of psychological trend that we see. I find that to be very reassuring. And I think maybe this is the first time people are cognizant of the challenges they're going to face. But knowing that this is just going to set you up for life, if you learn how to deal with really big hardships and adversity, this is your first taste of it. I find it very reassuring that we're all going through our own things. Everyone's got stuff. We're all going through our own stuff. In a parallel way, you know, we're all doing it alongside each other and giving each other the support and the maybe the grace and the time. I think that is a really affirming way to work through that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it was Louise that introduced me to someone called Bruce Feiler, who wrote this fantastic book called Life is in the Transitions. Mm-hmm. And he talks about life quakes, which I love. And we go through them as adults on a regular basis. Sometimes we choose them. Sometimes they're chosen for us. And it's how we kind of understand this is a change time and how we can use either our previous knowledge of ourselves and change or make up some new stuff for us and change. I think like you is a really helpful way to do it. Mm-hmm. So, although I think you and I likely are working at this transition point in supporting young adults go off and leave school, these are messages for everybody, aren't they?
Yeah. Certainly. Yeah, universal.
Yeah. And I just want to say a couple of last things. Lindsay, you're in a transition yourself, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, a big family relocation, which is, yeah, it's going to be an exciting change. Yeah. But yeah, it is a complete life revolution, I would say. So that brings its own challenges, but also I think it's exciting too. And I think some people lead maybe with the fear and the worry of it all. And I have all of those things too. I think everyone does. That's a natural part of change, but just kind of potential for something new and for growth and for, you know, something fresh and exciting is also it's an uplifting and an optimistic part of change. And I think, I think it makes me personally maybe more optimistic, and I'm seeking potential positives through change as opposed to just thinking about all the things that might go wrong.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you're youthful, you're young, you've been through changes before, so you know that, don't you? You know that. And I think maybe that's the difficulty for sometimes for parents and for older professionals or whatever. We know what we know because of our experience. And for young adults leaving, you know, they've been through big changes, like think about COVID, things like that. But this is a change that they're going to make on their own. It's their first big one, isn't it?
Yeah,
I agree. I like that. Although we can lead with fear, you know, try and lead with growth. A lovely thing to say. Lindsay, I wish you very well on your next journey, wherever that may take you. And I really hope that you can find ways to kind of keep your passion and support for young people at this stage, because it looks like you're doing it brilliantly.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for your time, and thank you for having me. And yeah, it is. I won't get very far without working with young people. Definitely, it's certainly my vocation, and I will continue to do that. But how and what it looks like is open for interpretation. But thank you so much, Elizabeth, for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
It's been wonderful having you, Lindsay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, where we heard Lindsay talk about her deep commitment to supporting sixth form students during periods of change. It's also about, for her, students helping each other when they're in school, like the year 12 and 13s, but even about bringing them back when they leave. That's about building a strong school community. Isn't it interesting that Lindsay observes that their leavers gain a good perspective of their first year at university when they're in their second year? Perhaps the transition is done or almost done. Maybe looking back at change when you aren't in it, in the midst of it, is easier. Lindsay also addressed the evolving needs of university students and the importance of equipping them with the right knowledge to bridge the gap between school and higher education. Her real-world ready sessions are a great example designed to offer students practical, meaningful preparation for life beyond the classroom. And it was also great to hear Lindsay talk about using our student podcasts, especially the Voices one, with groups in school. As social creatures, it's important to hear what other people are thinking and feeling about transitions ahead. What about the opportunities? What about the worries? Students were finding a language to express themselves and learning how they might lead themselves in this transition. She talked about leading with fear, leading with growth, or leading with the knowledge that there will be challenges and it won't all be plain sailing. Pits and peaks, as Lindsay called it. Importantly, Lindsay emphasised the role of parents in the process. She recognised that change affects the whole family, and involving parents in these conversations is key to supporting young adults as they move forward. So thanks again, Lindsay, for your time, your wisdom, and every best wish for your next move. And to learn more about the work Louise and I are doing, go to successfulstudenttransitions.com. If you're listening soon after this is live, we have a free webinar on Tuesday, the 24th of June at 4:30. We'll discuss the real struggles that students face. And the webinar is designed for educators, parents, students, and anyone curious about the dynamic and often messy world of university transition. It's called A Blueprint for Successful University Transition, Unlock the Secrets to Successful Student Transitions. And you can find it on the website, successfulstudenttransitions.com. And in the webinar, we're also going to be offering a sneak peek into transition to the university in our program called Thrive in Your Transition to University. In the program, in the course, which is online, there are 6 insightful modules, which include interactive playbooks, so you can write your own notes and information for yourself. We want students to explore what transition really means for them, to navigate the challenges of leaving home, and gain confidence with tools and strategies that will make a real difference in their early weeks on campus. Find out more about the course on this link, www.successfulstudenttransitions.com/transition course. And of course, please tune into our podcast, Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive, and please leave us some feedback. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with the next episode. Bye for now.
And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information on this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.